Good morning. This morning I'm preaching and I have the subject of eternal life. I'm going to try and pack some other things into it as well because I'm only really with you this week and maybe one other week before I'm no longer preaching here. I might throw in a couple of other things alongside it and just throw some nuggets in and try and get as much in as I possibly can around it. So that being said, eternal life. So before we get into it, you know, the kingdom of God is really, it's really more of an upside down kind of kingdom. It's back to front. The way up is down. It's not anything like how we function in normal life. When you think of it, Jesus comes and in Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus comes and he basically takes on the form of a servant and he humbles himself to the point of death, death on a cross. And we see that he sets a tone for us. He sets a format for us that the greatest way is to serve, is servanthood, which is contrary to the way that we're brought up and we're taught in society. You see also that when he does this, he's basically demonstrating to us how life has got to be. So when his disciples ask him, Jesus says, well, if you want to be the greatest, you need to be the greatest servant. Generally, the way up in the kingdom is to serve. It's not to elevate yourself. Then he goes on to say that when you humble yourself, now God, it tells us in the book of James, it says that God gives more grace to the humble. So the best way is to humble yourself. When you humble, you get more grace, but God resists the proud, which is now contrary again to the world system, because in the world system, we want to elevate ourselves and tell everybody how great we are, and we want to flaunt how well we've done with money and all that kind of stuff. And God is saying, no, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So sometimes I'd much rather have somebody pray for me who's only been a Christian for a month, 2 months, 3 months, because they're still at a point where they're like, hey, we're dependent on God, we're dependent on Jesus. And their prayers are far more effective than somebody who's been a Christian for many years but is walking in pride, because God resists your prayer life. He resists the proud. He doesn't receive what you have to say when you're arrogant. Again, it's upside down. In the Psalms, so Acts 20 verse 35, when the writer is referring to Jesus' quote, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's better to give away than to get, is what it's saying. Again, upside down, the kingdom is different. It's better to give than to receive. It's better to give away than to actually get something, which is contrary to the way that we think in society. And when Jesus in the Gospels, many parts of the Gospels, there's two examples, when Jesus sees the man comes to Jesus who's wealthy, and he says, I've done everything that you say. I've followed the commandments from my youth. What more can I do? And Jesus turns to him and says, well, if you want to be perfect, sell everything you have, give it away to the poor, and come and follow me. And the man couldn't do it because he was very wealthy. We see again that he's just so different to the world way, that the way of God is so different. The Beatitudes, if somebody, that's Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if somebody takes something from you, give them more. If somebody steals from you, bless them by giving them even more than what they took. If they need help for a little bit, give them help for a lot, right? It's very different to what we know. The widow's mite, when the widow in the Gospels, these people are giving money to the church or to the synagogue in those days, and some of them are standing up and demonstrating how much money they're giving, and they're giving a lot of money. And this little widow walks up, and she puts in a dime. And Jesus is watching, and he turns to his disciples, and he says, I'm telling you that the person who gave the most out of all those people is the widow, because she gave out of her lack rather than out of her abundance. All these people were doing it out of their abundance for demonstration. And she gave a little bit, but it was out of the abundance of her heart. It was the most she could give. And so for her, that had more of an effect than the other gifts that came in. And so we see the kingdom is upside down. So as we enter eternal life, again, it's upside down. Eternal life is upside down. It's completely contrary. The way to get eternal life is to give your life away. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you want to gain life, you have to give your life away. Jesus requires us to get off the throne in our lives and to relinquish it to him. And then he comes. That's what eternal life is. And then he comes and he takes over our life. And it's difficult because we like to be in control. We like to control everything. And we like to keep Jesus on the side and kind of like, well, let's bring him out now because we need to pray. And then let's get him back in the closet over here. We don't want to see him. And we want to run our lives. And he doesn't work like that. You see, you must know that saying where salvation is free, but it costs your life. You have to come to him and you humble yourself and you come to Jesus and you lay down your life. And you say, Jesus, please come in and save me. And you trade your life for his abundant life. And again, the kingdom is different because we want to work. We want to earn salvation. You know, we're not going to spend time on that because we've covered that in depth, is that we don't get to heaven. We don't receive salvation by works. But that is our natural way. That is most other religions. It's always you have to be good. You have to do this. You have to do that. And if you can do well, your reward is heaven. Jesus flips it upside down. He says, the way to get eternal life is give your life to me. That's how he does it, because you cannot attain. So therefore, I have to attain for you. So that's what eternal life is. And it's obviously living forever. You're going to live forever. We're already in eternal life. And it's what Jesus does for us. But what I want to focus on is the impact that eternal life has. What is that? How does that impact my life? How does the fact that I have eternal life, how does that impact me? How does that affect my life? Because the effect has to be dramatic. It has to be dramatic. I've gone from darkness to light. I was walking in destruction and now I'm walking in life. I've come to the King of Kings and I've laid down my life before him, and he has taken my life and he has tossed it away and he has given me new life. And so that change has to be dramatic. The receiving of eternal life, that whole process, it has to be so dramatic on my life that others can see it. It has to impact others. You see, discipleship, evangelism, all this kind of stuff is not meant to be complicated. It's not meant to be hard. I'm meant to be transformed. And so when I'm transformed, people come along and when they bite into me, I'm salty. I'm flavored. I'm salty. I make them thirsty. So when they stand on me and they come and they abuse you and they take advantage of you, or maybe a family member hasn't spoken to you for a long time, or they neglect you, whatever it may be, when they bite into you, they're meant to become thirsty for the gospel. Your life is meant to be so different and so impacted that you're completely different from the way you used to be. You can't add Jesus into your life. Jesus has to become your life. When you're trying to add Jesus into your life, you don't taste salty. You don't have his flavor. You don't taste like Jesus. You taste like a mix and it doesn't work. That's the effect it's meant to have. It's meant to have a transformative effect in my life. So that no matter where I find myself, I'm constantly just giving out the aroma of God. I'm constantly giving out the aroma of God. And the Bible says that that then makes people thirsty. You see, evangelism is not meant to be a complicated thing. We're meant to be impacting people around us because we behave so differently. So like now when this COVID hit and people are panicked and people are stressed, we're meant to be in a calm state. Why? Because God is protecting us. Do we respect everything and the decisions that are made? Sure. Are we careful? Of course. Do we do what is wisdom? Of course we do. But we don't live in panic because we know that somebody is with us and somebody's looking after us, because my life has been transformed. I've given my life over to Jesus. If we jump to Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So when they saw, when the people in the community, when the people around them, the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, when they saw the boldness that was on these disciples, and they realized that they were just regular people, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. They saw that something was different with these guys. These guys were different, that somehow Jesus' flavor had been left on these disciples. And their lives were different, and so they made people thirsty. They made people want the gospel. They challenged people. Their lives challenged people. They didn't have to go out and try and convict people of their sin or try and tell people, hey, you shouldn't be living like this and you shouldn't be doing this. Basically, their life was full of aroma and the aroma of God. And their life impacted other people around them. And so we see that being with our Father is meant to impact us. Now, I can't tell you how many people have not been with the Father, and you can't hide being with the Father. It's not something you can pretend. If you do not smell like God, you can't pretend to smell like Him. If you're not salty, you're not salty. If you've lost your salt, you've lost your salt. If you haven't been with the Father, people can tell you haven't been with the Father. If you've been with the Father, people can tell you've been with the Father. There's no degree, there's no amount of wealth, there's no title, there's no business, anything that can compensate for being with the Father. And Jesus is not interested in all the other stuff. He wants to know, have you been with the Father? Because Jesus' life, they saw that He was like the Father. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because He was spending time with the Father. When you spend time with the Father, you can't help but be optimistic. You can't help it. You have to be optimistic. How can you not be? You can't help but believe that all things are possible. I mean, have you seen, the Bible says in John, that no one's seen the Father with their eyes, but have you seen the Father? The Bible tells us in Ezekiel that your Father is fire from the waist down, and from the waist up is fire. He's fire, yet He can span the universe. The psalmist tells us that He spans the universe with the palm of His hand, that He can fit the entire universe in His hand, that in His little palm here, He can hold all the seas, all the waters of the world, He can hold in here. That when He breathes, the psalmist tells us when He breathes out stars. He breathes out stars. When He breathes, stars come out of Him. And then it tells us in 1 John 4 that God is love. He didn't make love. He is love. And He's a jealous God. And that God is insanely in love with you and with me. So now my backstop is a star breathing, full of fire, immensely huge Father who's possessive over me, who's jealous over me, and is consumed with love. So He's absolutely in love with you and me. And that has to impact my life. That has to. How can you not believe that all things are possible? How can you not believe it? And so we tend to be, when you've been with the Father, you tend to be optimistic. Like everything can turn out okay. That He can do anything. That He can do everything. And that all things are truly possible. The whole kingdom still is upside down, because in order to get to that place, what does He say? He says to get to that place, you have to become like a child. We think it comes through a bunch of other things. It doesn't. It comes by coming like a child. He says you have to be like a child to believe in Him. So many times I speak to people and they say, well, I just don't have faith. I don't find faith easy. You know, maybe my personality type is I don't particularly find it easy. I need control of my own life. I don't find it easy. And my answer to you simply is you haven't been with the Father. Literally, if I can't trust, I haven't been with the Father. Because you know what? I find it no problem to take a check from the CRA and I go and I bank it. I know it's going to go through. You never bank a CRA check and think it's going to bounce. Never, because you have faith in the organization. You know they got money behind them. The same is now with God. If I've got faith in God and I know that He can help me and I know that He will help me and I know that He is completely in love with me, then I do believe in Him. I do trust Him. And those are things you can't make up. You can't pretend. I've been in situations before where I've had to pray with people and felt like I'm empty. I remember when I was living in Zaire and it was war-torn and all that, there were times when I would pray with people and I was traumatized myself and empty, and you're trying to conjure up belief and there's just nothing there. And then there have been times when I've been with a Father and there's just belief is just coming out of you. It's just exploding out of you. And the results on your prayer life, the results on the people around you is completely different. It's completely different. Amen. And so, these are the results of eternal life. How has eternal life impacted you? Have you forgiven your children? Have you forgiven your ex-spouse? Have you forgiven your parents? Have you forgiven friends? Have you forgiven business partners that have run away with all your money? Have you forgiven all those things? Because that is a sign of eternal life, of the kingdom inside of you. It has to transform your life. God has to transform your life. We don't add Him into our life. We give our life over to Him. Amen. And so I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray that we just really get to be with the Father, that you make time and I make time to spend with Him. And that will that always impacts. That changes everything. That gives us, we actually dare to believe against all odds. We actually dare to trust Him against all odds. We actually believe enough to get our hope up. I know for us it's very difficult. People don't want to get their hopes up. You know, you don't want to get, when you pray, you don't want to get your hope up because so many times they've been dashed. But when you spend time with the Father, He cleanses that and washes that and brings us back to a place where we are excited about Him and His Word, and we're excited to pray. So let's pray. Father, so for my friends, family, our congregation that are watching and are participating in this service, Lord, I pray for strength to forgive themselves, to forgive other people. I pray for strength, Lord, that we will gladly hand over our lives to You, Jesus. That we can trust You enough to take care of our lives. That You are better in control than I am in control. And so we give our lives over to You, Jesus. Father, we pray that You put a hunger in our hearts to want to understand You and to want to be like You and to want to spend time with You. Please, Jesus, for everybody watching here this morning, that You would put a fire in our hearts to want to be with You. And for anybody that's going through a rough time at this point who's watching, Lord, that You would enable them to keep their eyes on You. Just give that little bit of extra. Give grace to them, Jesus, please, to put their eyes on You. And then You can carry them through this difficult time. We love You. We just ask that You be with everybody in our congregation, even those that aren't listening, that You be with them and You help them and help us all to come to know You more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thank you. I just, there's just, these are things I really just want to leave with you that I feel are important. I feel it's important that we really do give our lives over. I believe that eternal life is more than just going to heaven. It's already here on earth. It's us living on earth and us doing right and doing what we should be doing here on earth, according to, obviously, to the gospel. But my prayer is that over that this time, and maybe if I speak again, I just, I know I deviate a little bit from the topic here and there or from the scriptures that Duncan's reading, but I just want to bring in some of the nuggets that I really feel I want you to have before I go. So God bless and have an amazing week.